Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Well, it really is Thursday now for sure. It's officially Thursday, because the Paula Price Show is broadcasting. We're on Block Talk Radio today. Thank you, Block Talk. Yay! Boy, my Star Wars soldiers. And we're on Periscope. Bless you, Periscope. You've got us running around the planet. You're building our numbers. I can't even tell you how thankful I am that you are doing this. God is good. Isn't he good? I know you have to agree with me that God is good. So I want to say that. I want to say thank you to you for passing the last several broadcasts, and we've been seeing the fruit, getting the numbers. My likes are increasing. Hey, Facebook people, increase my likes. And then my heart, Periscope, we're doing great. We went over the 23,000 follower mark. That's really great considering how short a period of time I've been doing this, but we can do better, and we can do more. Let's continue to push this thing, this apostolic prophetic wisdom, the wisdom of God, the mind of God, and how about the smart Christian? The smart Christian. Isn't that great? We're going to have smart Christians who are going to be able to think things through, process information, recognize when we're being duped, and then counteract it with the wisdom of God and his righteousness. So we've got a lot going for us today. Well, Prophet Ashley, you know, I've been silent a while. Because, you know, I don't jump on bandwagons. I guess by now you all know that. I do not jump on bandwagons. I don't hop on every hot thing. I just realize I do believe that wisdom has restraint. And you can recognize wisdom because wisdom can wait it out and work it out. That's wisdom. Wisdom has restraint. Wisdom will always wait it out until it searches it out. And once it searches it out, then it works it out. If you're taking notes, that's worth it for you to put on your Facebook or your Twitter, because that's a piece of wisdom the saints of God need, the people of God need, and I think the people of the world. So, again, wisdom can wait it out until it searches it out. And once it searches it out, it works it out. And so if we're going to be wise people, smart Christians, we cannot be rash. We cannot be impulsive. We cannot be emotionally manipulated. We cannot allow ourselves to be constantly emotionally manipulated just because of somebody else's agenda. We've got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's God's word to us. Wise as serpents. You realize serpents don't strike quickly. They set things up. They survey. They evaluate before they start striking. We as Christians are going to have to stop striking before we search, because we inevitably look like we are what we are, people who don't think, irrational, impulsive, destructive folk. So that's what today is going to be about. Isn't that great? That's good already, isn't it? Now, before I get started, let me say this. Take a moment and share. Tell all your friends you don't want to miss today. Now, I am not going to promise that I'm going to get to the calls in a timely fashion. I feel what we're handling today is very important. So I want you to just hang tough with me in Periscope. If we can get to the calls, we will do it. But I think what I have to say today will be sufficient for engaging you. And I'm going to talk about Black Lives Matter. And my question is, to whom? Can you really say who Black Lives Matter pertains to? Does it pertain to black lives? What does it pertain to? Does it pertain to injustice, legal, judicial injustice? Here's why I'm saying it. We're going after smart Christians. Put that on your screen so everybody can say, we're going after smart Christians. Smart Christians, that's people who think, people who investigate, people who explore. But how about this? Here's a good one. People who confirm. Confirm your facts. Do your research and confirm your facts. We need more thought leaders in our among Christians, but also among African Americans. We need thought leaders. I don't mean thought runners, because a lot of people's thoughts run away with them, and they gather a momentum simply because they threw out a thought and started running. But we're not going to run with our thoughts. We're going to lead with our thoughts. Oh, yes, this is good, this is good, this is good. So I want to get started because I think this is important. Now, let me frame this. I like to frame things, set things up. So let me frame this for you. I already threw out the question, Black Lives Matter to whom? I already threw that out. So let me set the stage. We are a poetic, rhythmic, and lyrical people. That is in our DNA. It is in our genetics. It's in our gene pool. We cannot help it. We have got to rhyme. We've got to have a beat. There's a pulsing beat in our soul that motivates us and sets the tempo for all of our lives. And we're lyrical. We cannot help it. We love to sing. We know many of our singers are going to be right there with God singing the praises of the Lord. We're also creative and innovative in our poems, our rhythms, and our lyrics. Very innovative. Remember that, because that's going to come back on us in Black Lives Matter. So, because that's who we are, and it is undeniable around the world, then you need to recognize why the slogan Black Lives Matter caught on. It fit our makeup. It moved right in our pulse. We could sing it. We could rhyme it. We could dance it. We can write songs around it. Now, that's the upside. But there is a downside to everything. Everything has an upside, a downside, and listen, an inside. So that's the upside. The downside of it is that it makes us gullible. It makes us emotionally gullible. And today, I want to talk about what makes us emotionally gullible. That is why when we don't like something, we go from disturbed to rage, because we're always seething on the inside, and no one is addressing this inner seething. I told you, upside, downside, seething. Are you following me now? So because of those basic things about us, we're poetic, rhythmic, and lyrical, we are always prime bait for an impulse move, for a manic sway. People can work us up into a frenzy mania by just a beat, by just a rhyme, by just the lyrics. So what does that mean? That means we bypass our intelligence and our wisdom center, and we go right into our sensual center. And in our sensuality, we enjoy the feel of what is genetically in us, naturally in us, innately part of our makeup. We roll into that, whether it's wise, whether it's not, whether it's wholesome, whether it's destructive or constructive. And we don't care. And I'm going to prove that to you before I finish today. So the first thing we have to recognize is what is it that our emotional gullibility always makes us pawns of? Because it will make us a pawn. People will always use our constant season. We as a people are like a pot on the back of a stove. It's always, always boiling. Always bubbling. Now, if I were a thinker and I were a strategist and I was out to constantly push my thoughts and my agenda and I wanted to get it to go quickly, I would always find the cauldron. And I would go to the cauldron that's always bubbling, always simmering, and always seething, because it doesn't take much. I don't have to wait a long time for the strike to hit. I don't have to wait for it to warm up. I don't have to wait for the bubbling to begin. I can go right to it. Isn't that good? Is that wisdom? Because we're wisdom people. And so I want to talk to you about that. Because we're poetic, because we're rhythmic, because we're lyrical, any slogan that taps into our seething will set us off. We don't care. And so what does that mean? That means we're always prime bait for contrived events, tragic or not. And the more tragic it is, the more we can relate to it, because we are people of tragedy. Come on, help me, somebody. And because we are a people of tragedy, we have a legacy of tragedy that is always, always seeking justice, whether it deserves it or not, because, you know, pain and sorrow separate from wisdom and intelligence. And it takes a very powerful people to be able to exploit one with the other and vice versa. Very powerful. So the phrase Black Lives Matter, I love it. You know, it weeps. It rings out. It rings out in us. We can write, how many beats can we get off of that? How many songs? How many lyrics? Come on, we can go a lot with that, don't we? But it stops us from thinking. The purpose of the slogan is to stop you from thinking and to push you to feeling. That's why jingles work. That's why little, you know, snap songs and those little repetitive, they work because they stop you from thinking and make you enjoy the feeling. So we need to find out why we enjoy the feeling of destruction. Very important. So, again, I'll go back. So it rings out as a declaration and a condemnation. We declare Black Lives Matter. We condemn those that we feel don't make it or don't agree with us. So it does both. So my question is to whom, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. I want you to put to whom in your notes, because some of you do take notes, and I appreciate that. All right? Now, to whom should Black Lives Matter, and why? Well, I'm going to go into on the record to say this. Micah 4:5 says that everyone, every man or everybody walks in the name of his God. You can look it up. Micah 4:5 says that everybody walks in the name of their God. Now, if that's not enough, because you know God, when God gets ready to handle a matter, he just doesn't stop. He goes on till he gets to the finish line. And I'm going to the finish line with the Holy Ghost. Can you all go with me? Because we're dealing with thinking people. So I want to say to you, hallelujah. I sent myself an answer to something today. I'll just have to call it out. If you go to Jeremiah 2:8-11, it also says, nations don't change their gods. Peoples don't change their gods. So I have three thoughts I want you to hang on today. I want you to hang on to whom does and should Black Lives Matter. I want you to hold on to that. I want you to hold on to what God are we walking in, because it's that God's agenda that we're going after. That's number two. And I want you to know what God are we trying to change into. Which one are we leaving, and which one are we joining? Is that good for you? Call your thinkers. Call your feelers. Tell them this is worth it. Now, I make no mistake about it, I represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And I represent the Lord Jesus Christ because I've tried a lot of religions. I know people think you don't, but I did. I did. I tried the whole Buddhist thing. I tried the whole Muslim thing. I tried the Jehovah's Witness thing. You know, I even dabbled a little bit in the little Krishna thing. I did a little, I tried a lot of things, you know. I did, and I examined them all because I'm not doing anything blindly. Because when the reason you have slogans that pump your feelings up over your logic is because they need blind following. They need blind obedience. I want to know. So I want to know why you're telling me this. Why are we doing this? I'm going to ask it. If I get anything out of my people today, I would like to get you to start asking who gains and who loses and whose side am I on? Who gains from us Black people constantly staying in tragic, depressed, emotional, lack of esteem, inferiority complexes? Who gains from that? Because somebody is pulling the strings, people, and we have to stop realizing nothing on earth is string-free. Even God has strings. The Lord Jesus has strings. If you, then I. When you, then I. Everybody got strings. It's the way of creation. So your job is to figure out who's pulling the strings and who goes home with the pot of gold. I want to know. I think we need to think differently. So we're gonna look at that. So I'm gonna talk about this because this is very important, and then we're gonna go over to my statistics. I got some. You know, I've got a little something, because, you know, I'm not going to let things drag me around. So I represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and I do so faithfully. Now, I want you to understand, a lot of people say represent Christ, they mean church. A lot of people say they represent Christ, they mean the religion. A lot of people say they represent Christ, and they really mean Christianity. Very different, which is what you will find with apostles and prophets. If they're genuine, they are able to bypass all of those corridors and all of those barriers and get into the person. And so I'm representing the person, Jesus Christ, not as a religion, but as God. And as the God who founded this land, who really established the United States of America. You know, they can tell you, well, America is not, never was, but you know what? Queen Elizabeth sent Christians over here to do that. Christians came, and they established it. So everybody who came after them came onto another God's land, that God being Jesus Christ, the resurrected Son of the living God. Now, in God's world, it is all about the invisible creation, and the invisible creation that is contending for the Almighty's creaturehood and his provisions. Hear me, people. I'm taking you on a journey that we need to go on if we're going to be thought leaders instead of chaos breeders. Because right now we are real, real good tools of chaos. But what if we became thought leaders instead of chaos breeders? So let's go on. In God's world, it's all about the invisible creatures, the powers, principalities, and all of that in the heavenly places, all right, contending for his physical creaturehood, his physical creation. God wants us all to do it, so that's how we do it. Now, that's in my course, Spiritual Protocratics, and if you were in my Apostolic Prophetic Studies, that's what we would be covering. Now, so in the doing so, this invisible creation created strategies, tactics, and schemes to compete and conquer. Everything is about competing and conquer, acquiring and requiring. Competing and conquering, acquiring and requiring. So, however, in Jesus' world, color is incidental to their motives. Spiritual world, they have all colors, rainbow, blue, green, they got them all. You're talking about the angels. Jesus shows up on the mountain as sapphire blue. So come on. And so however, color is incidental to their motives, and it does not enter the picture until they bring their struggles and their campaigns to this world. Now, are you all following me with this? Is this, I need you to let me know, because I don't want to be out here. I don't want to go places and leave you behind. I don't want to leave you behind. I want you to walk with me. So are you walking with me right now? Okay. Good. So here is my challenge to you today. My challenge to you today is, can we be colorless for a moment? Can we go colorless for just a moment? Can we forget black, white, green, blue, orange people? And let's go and just deal with powers, because powers don't care about color. Powers care about conquest. Color is just part of the decorations. It's the cosmetics of the battle, of the conflict. And you need to know that. It is important that you recognize that. So if we go colorless for a moment, I'm going to share a few things with you from a colorless platform. We're going colorless. Tell your friend, text somebody, say, we're going colorless. I'm going colorless with Dr. Price for a moment. So, I was in two predominantly black nations over the last couple of years, and I was watching the news in these black nations. And as I watched the news, I saw police brutality, soldiers running amok, I saw inequity, I saw injustice, I saw bias, and I saw favoritism. And as I saw that, this is what Jesus asked me. He said, so now, since they can't blame it on color, who's the culprit? So I'm sitting there. He said, because these are the same problems you have in your country. And I said, That's right, God, I do. He said, but they don't have color as a scapegoat. So where do they look for the source? Where do they look for the problem, the cause? And I'm telling you, people, that stuck me for 2 days. I couldn't give them an answer because I thought, well, gee, I don't know. Their kids were being raped. Their young men were being killed and enlisted in battles and enlisted in the army, illegal armies. They were dealing with all of that and more, and they couldn't blame it on color. So, my people, I ask you this question. What do we blame it on if we're colorless? Come on and type in some of your suggestions. What are you saying? What do we blame it on if we're colorless? I do.
We have demonic.
Demonic.
Corruption.
Corruption.
Someone said finally someone makes sense. Okay. Spirit of the age. Demonic forces. Yes, some things. Okay. We all agree it is demons. Spiritual warfare. That's the social class.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Demonic forces. Yeah.
And you know what it comes down to? Private agendas. Made public through the oppressed. Private agendas gone public through the oppressed. See, because we're so out of power and we're so beyond, not shut out of the strategy rooms and the situation centers and all of that, people, you know, we're still dealing with the strong surviving and the survival of the fittest. We're not getting away from that because that is just natural to earth. I'm talking natural to earth. You know, Paul writes, there's nothing that will come upon you that such as that other than what is natural to man or common to man. So there are common negatives and common things that the dark side will do to maintain its control, and then the light will contend with and face off with to make sure that justice and equity, et cetera, are there. So my question to you is, as thought leaders, we're going to be African-Americans. I'm going to give me a thought-leading African-American group, a group of African-Americans who want to lead the thoughts instead of lead the riot. Okay, because we got a lot of riot leaders, but we don't have people who are going to lead the thought and change the world's perception of us. And we can't do that until we change our own perception. Because our perception of ourselves is that we deserve to die. Somebody got us to buy into that, and it wasn't a racial thing because they're doing it in other countries where color is not the scapegoat. So we have to track now. Now let's do some homework. Let's dig into our own genetic. Let's dig into our own nativity and figure out where did the mandate come from that said we deserve to die. That we should not live, we should not live in any capacity. That's why our family should die. Our career should die. Our livelihood should die. Our health should die. Our safety should die. Why are we locked into the death zone? And I'm going to prove to you that's where we are. We are locked into the death zone of creation, and we need to find out why. Because until we do, any little thing is going to set us off because we are seething cauldron, always waiting for the next tragedy to give us an opportunity to retaliate. Because we don't use our tragedy as motivation to conquer. We use it to retaliate. And we need to change that. So let's move on. Now, my team is a good team, and I always tell them I need you all to do some homework. And so one of my colleagues, Apostle Warren out of Ohio, urged folk on Facebook to look up, go to the website, Black Lives Matters. So let me read a little bit about how we matter. First of all, how we've interpreted and sloganized it is not how they designed it. It wasn't built for what we're sloganizing. And I'm making that word up, so don't worry about it. Y'all just go to dictionaryfighting.com, they're not going to have it. But how this, I want you to hear Christians, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, born from above, Holy Ghost-filled saints. I want you to hear this, Bible-believing saints, and believers in Christ, ministers, apostles, and prophets. And I want to challenge you going forward to stop jumping on bandwagons until you put your research department to work on finding out what it really means. Every apostle and prophet needs a research department. You need a research group that's going to do that. Black Lives Matter website. Black Lives Matter is a unique contribution that goes beyond extrajudicial killings of black people by police and vigilantes. This is their website. So it goes way past what we're fighting about now, way past what you all want to riot on now. That wasn't even what they were thinking about. It goes beyond the narrow nationalism that can be prevalent within some black communities, which merely call on black people to love black, live black, and buy black. See, now you all have a campaign for buying black, and they say that's not why they're doing this. You get ready to bankrupt your own little community, and that's not why they're doing it. Listen, keeping straight black men in front of the which merely call on black people to love black, live black, and buy black, keeping straight black men in front of the movement while our sisters, queer and trans and disabled folk take up roles in the background or not at all. Now, if you're talking about Black Lives Matter, why do I have a queer tapped onto my genetic tree? Why do I have, I'm trying to get it together, a trans tapped onto my genetic tree? They're telling you, preachers who are standing up in your church, picking up the slogan, who are fussing with the people, who are breaking ranks with some wonderful civil authorities who have worked with you up to now, who are putting, literally sanctioning spiritual violence on your congregation by your position in your office, in your station, and you're standing there, and you're backing queers, and you're backing trans and disabled folk, either it's black life or it's all life. Because this is telling me that black life is to be equated to dysfunctional life, deluded life. I have written an article, and I have long since said I got a problem with people who can choose which side of the acceptance spectrum they're on by how they have sex. And don't tell me it's not about sex, because if you take the sex out of same-sex marriage, you got homo, because same and homo are the same. Homo is Greek for same. So when you voted for that, you still said, I believe in homosexuality. Now, I'm telling you, what people do on this planet is what God wants them to do so that he can filter it out. Earth is a major filtering thing for the Lord. Major. But understand, they don't have sex in heaven. So that already tells you that God is dealing with the gene pool and not sexual preference. He's dealing with the genetic tree, the descendants. And we know that homosexuals cannot have descendants. So nothing can descend from that. Now, I'm talking about God. I'm representing Jesus Christ. Society can fight its own battles. They got enough people out there fighting whatever they want to fight. I'm representing Jesus Christ as his apostle. You will never, ever find homosexuality in eternity. And the reason you won't find it is because they don't have spiritual sex. The problem that God had was when those angels left their first estate and came down and into the body of humans to take over and to create a genetic tree that did not exist. Yeah, see, thought leaders, not chaos breeders. So I want you to think differently because these people are not out for your good. And they always do this. They do three things that you need to be aware of if we're going to be discerning, because Christians need to be detectives. So we need to be political, social, and spiritual detectives. So now listen, we need to detect when somebody's trying to trick us. Paul talks about doctrines of devils all the time, and he talks about seducing spirits. And we need to be clear on what those look like. So what they do is they take a legitimate group and they tack on their illegitimacy to gain legitimacy from the group that they have affected. So black people have, in effect, helped that movement. So you want to know why God's hot? That's the first thing we did. We allow our own heritage to be absorbed into that very cosmetic movement. It's cosmetic. See, because I got to go have cosmetic surgery. I don't have to have cosmetics to be a black woman. Trust me. All of us who found out that it wasn't pretty in our country cried and did a whole lot of cosmetic things that didn't help. I don't have to have that. I don't have to have, I don't have to dress up to be recognized as a black woman. I don't have to put on a certain outfit and attire to be recognized as a black woman. So you have to understand, black people, we stopped thinking and we started feeling, and people exploited our emotionality. And we were exploited as a people in this country for an agenda that wasn't necessarily ours. I got more. So the key to this is that it's about using black people to put women, queers, trans, and disabled people in the foreground of society and giving power to them. Black Lives Matter, listen to this, Black Lives Matter affirms the lives of black, queer, and trans folks, disabled folks, black undocumented folks, folks with records, women, and all black lives along the gender spectrum. It centers, it centers those that have been marginalized within black liberation movements. It is a tactic to rebuild the black liberation movement. Is that what you all were going after, preachers? Were you going after that? Because, see, I was in the black liberation movement, and it wasn't pretty for blacks or whites or anybody in between. I was in that. And many of you listening to me today were in that. We know that where that ends up. Now, so I'm trying to figure out, so that means even white, queer, and trans people are targets in this. Something to think about. Other races. Okay. Now, this is an excerpt from the creation of the movement. When we say Black Lives Matter, we are talking about the ways in which black people are deprived of our basic human rights and dignity. It is an acknowledgement of black poverty and genocide is state violence. It is an acknowledgement that 1 million black people are locked in cages in this country. One half of all people in prisons or jails is an act of state violence. It is acknowledgement that black women continue to bear the burden of a relentless assault on our children and our families, and that assault is an act of state violence. Now, I want to go there because, see, they're making some claims here, unsubstantiated claims that cannot be corroborated anywhere outside of their emotions. Black, queer, and trans folk bearing a unique burden in a heteropatriarchal society that disposes of us like garbage and simultaneously fetishes us and profits off of us is state violence. The fact that 500,000 black people in the United States are undocumented immigrants and relegated to the shadows is state violence. Now, I'm thinking we got a lot of immigrants who are undocumented, but again, this is an emotional statement. All right? The fact that black girls are used as negotiating chips during times of conflict and war is state violence. I've watched several sex trade movies, documentaries, and I didn't see a lot of black girls. Now, maybe we don't do documentaries on ourselves. I'm not sure. We're known to be in the shadows just because we like being in the back. Black folks living with disabilities and different abilities bear the burden of state-sponsored Darwinian experiments that attempt to squeeze us into boxes of a normality by defined by white supremacy as a state of violence. Now, understand, this is what they're saying, and this is what you're preaching, preachers. This is what you're telling your people to get behind because you like the slogan. See, you like the poetic, rhythmic, lyrical sound of the slogan, and you didn't trace the slogan. And the fact is that the lives of black people, not all people, exist within conditions. These conditions is a consequence of state violence. Now, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't believe anything is all or every. That's number one. But I'm going to tell you right now, African-American people, my black brothers and sisters, see, I'm a black woman. I am not 22. I'm not a millennial. I don't even know where. Did they get a name for us yet? I guess I'm silver, golden. I don't know, something. I need a name. Huh? I'm a boomer. Am I a boomer? I'm a tail-end boomer. There we go. Boy, did we boom up a lot of things. So let me tell you this. If the oppression and exploitation of black people was exactly what the gay and lesbian movement experienced, guess what they would have we still can't get to the Supreme Court. They have gotten to the Supreme Court. They have gotten the president of the land to back them. They have gotten senators to back them. They have done all of that in, what, 10, 20 short years? And we have been in this country all this time, and we still can't get to a good court. Forget the Supreme Court. We're trying to get to the good court. You realize that they have money and power we still don't have, and we're allowing them to ride off of our oppressed coattail? They have money, power, position. You realize that when they freed us, we were still fortunate to get a job. They got freed. They became your boss who could oppress you if you didn't agree with them. They are the power base who rode off our coattails, people, because we're still trying to get that kind of respectability, trying to get laws passed, and the people don't even want to pay attention to the laws they did pass for us. They don't want to pay attention. We have been duped. We have been duped, and we, to show you how little we think of our blackness, we have allowed ourselves to be used as pawns for this agenda that is mixed with all races. All races are in that movement. We are just one. And we've allowed ourselves to be duped. We've been used, folks, and we have bought into it. We got the same thing with Christians. You're sitting here talking about they got all religions and Christians are going to jump on board. Well, I just think they ought to be able to love each other. Baby, they're not just loving each other. That's not God's issue. God is not dealing about love. God's dealing about something else. Ultimately, the extinction of his creation. Ultimately, the perversion of his family. Ultimately, the distortion of his children. Ultimately, the putting in power the very spirits he kicked out of his world. Christians, stop being emotional. And being spiritual doesn't mean you have to be emotional. We are still supposed to be wise as serpents. You need to look at the person who is benefiting from the chaos. Chaos always has a beneficiary, and it always has benefactors. So anything that's got us in an uproar, we need to ask questions. Stop allowing, you know, our emotions, they run out. Stop allowing your emotions to be spent by anybody who passes by. Ask questions. I'm going off. I've looked at this, and when I was reading that, I just gave you some short facts. Go to this website yourself. Be powerful Christian thinkers. Be powerful black thinkers. Be people think, just be common sense thinkers. Find out who is trying to use, because we want to talk about how we're being used, but because we are always seizing in the background, we're always prime bait for somebody to pay some sort of little rogue group to go and start a crime, to go and start a war, to go and start a riot. We are prime bait to do that. We're always there. So, oh, wow, well, how are we going to do it? Well, we need to get somebody to go out there. We'll pay some gangs to go and start a war. We'll pay some gangs to go and break in some houses. We'll pay some gangs to go shoot some cops or to drug somebody into doing something. Because we're always seizing. We are always ready weapons and the tools of our destruction. We are always ready to be used to destroy. That is not our best life. That is not our purpose. Our destiny was never that. And they're still killing in all black countries with these same issues. They're still killing in our African nations. They're still fighting. We got here because our king sent us over here. We were sold out, you know, because you know good and well you're going to be 20 white folks in a nation of 2 million blacks. You're not going to just ship people out without some cooperation. Again, think it through. Think it through. Now, I'm going on. Am I speaking to you guys yet? Are you all getting fed?
Oh, yeah, you're speaking to us.
Okay. I need to see. Prophet Ashley helped me. She keeps me in breath. So I have here something called, read this website. Come on. Okay. I have something here called 5 Devastating Facts About Black on Black Crime Stats. And it's from HTTP, www.bright. Is it Bright or Brett? I want to say BrettBart.com, big government, and it went on. Now, this is important. Because the ugly truth behind hashtag Black Lives Matter is that black people killing other black people does nothing to advance its political power in the same way that one white cop killing a black criminal can. Despite the media's overindulgence on white cops killing blacks, there is still a far larger amount of black bodies being sent to morgues by black killers. Here's 5 devastating facts liberals can't deny. Now, liberals, remember I said find out who benefits. Trace who benefits. Trace who comes to power when you fall apart. Trace what that power will do when you put them there. Trace who benefits. Being a pawn and start being an investigator. Fact one, over 1,400 more black Americans murdered other blacks in 2 years than were lynched from 1882 to 1968. We ourselves, and that's what we have on record, because, you know, we got that from killed you, threw you in the water, put you under the ground, you know, threw you in the grave, left you in the basement, painted you in the wall, plastered you up. So we got all that other stuff, too. That's not counted. According to FBI data, 4,906 black people murdered other blacks in 2010 and 2011. That is 1,460 more black Americans killed by other blacks in 2 years than were lynched from 1882 to 1968, according to Tuskegee, our institute. See, Tuskegee is us. Fact two, black people, mostly men, commit a grossly disproportionate amount of crime. In 2012, white males were 38% of the population and committed 4,582 murders. That same year, black males were just 6.6% of the population but committed a staggering 5,531 murders. We have yet to riot with the gangs, probably because we're scared of them. In other words, black people at just a fifth of the size committed almost 1,000 more murders than their white counterparts. The figures above highlight a horrific truth that black racialists and white liberals routinely ignore. Law-breaking black Americans, young black males particularly, put themselves in close proximity to mostly white male police officers at rates of sometimes 5 to 10 times higher than whites. This is a recipe for disaster. Fact three, despite making up just 13% of the population, blacks committed half of the homicides in the United States for nearly 30 years. And you know we weren't killing other folks. DOJ statistics show that between 1980 and 2008, black people committed 52% of homicides. In 2013, black criminals committed 38% of the murders. Whites accounted for just 31%. There are five times fewer black people than white people in America, and yet they consistently carry out a larger share of the crimes. Now, I'm going to address this because, you know, I got some of y'all that just, your heart is just locked in. They just done us wrong. They just done us wrong. They just done us wrong. So I'm going to address that in about a minute. All right? Given this rate, it's no wonder that there aren't more instances where cops kill black criminals. Four, Chicago's death toll is almost equal to that of both wars in Iraq and Afghanistan combined. There have been almost as many deaths in one American city as there have been in the two major wars carried out by the U.S. military this century. Chicago's death toll from November 2001 to November 26, 2015, stands at 7,401. The combined deaths during Operation Iraqi Freedom, 2003 to 2015, 4,815, and Operation Enduring Freedom Afghanistan, 2001 to 2015, 3,506. And yet, the two together, 8,321. So we have been waging war on ourselves. Fact five, it would take cops 40 years to kill as many black men as have died at the hands of other black men in 2012 alone. University of Toledo criminologist Dr. Richard R. Johnson examined the latest crime data from the FBI supplementary homicide reports in Centers for Disease Control and found that an average of 4,472 black men were killed by other black men annually between January 1, 2009 and December 31, 2012. Professor Johnson's research further concluded that 112 black men died from both justified and unjustified police-involved killings annually during the same period. So we're talking about 4,472 us to us versus 112, justified or not. Now, why am I going there? That's just one part of the story. Those are one part of the story. And the one thing God needs us to do as black people is to, number one, face the truth. You can't be free. We could talk freedom all day long, but you can never become free until you face the truth about yourself. Now, drug addicted programs or drug addictions and rehab programs know that. All kinds of addictive programs know that until you confront the truth about yourself, you will not be free. And as long as we sit on the phone and sit in our living rooms and sit in classrooms and argue with each other about undeniable facts, we will not be free. We need to stop the free con, because that's another con, because the same people who tell us we are free are the people who are manipulating our seething cauldrons beneath the surface to go and work on their agenda. Who will take power when we destroy this nation? Who's going to do that? And when you destroy this nation, your freedom will not matter. You know what you got, but you don't know how you're going to do when there is no America. We continue to do this and give these agenda-driven people who hate our country, who have already given us to somebody else, their last death knell. We're going to suffer because our reputation is what it is around the world. It's not just an American reputation. We're in open information now. So around the world, this is our reputation. See, we need to clean up our own image, our own reputation. Let's talk about some things that are not on this list. Because, see, this list reflects what they said. They said, we're not about this. We're about this. Okay, three women decided we need to come up with a slogan called Black Lives Matter, and so that it can be the label on the can of sisters and queers and transes and disabled folks. So this is a slogan on a label. It has nothing to do with the labors of setting you free. Nothing whatsoever to do with it. Now, let's talk about our black music, because it's all crime built. Let's talk about our rappers who are killing each other. Let's talk about our women who are half naked and sleazy teaching our daughters how to lose their soul while we want to talk about black girls being used as manipulators. Who's selling them? Somebody is selling the product. Someone is making the sale. We have got to start asking ourselves, who's making the sale? Let's talk about abortion, since we care so much about our lives. Let's talk about STDs. Let's talk about our race being dwindled away, eaten away, eroded by that. Okay? Let's talk about that. You want to talk about that? Let's talk about that, because those black lives matter too. Those babies that did not ask to have to be flushed down the toilet, their lives matter. Those little girls who were molested because of those shows that we make, those movies we make, those power plays we make, those people's lives matter too. We're not coming against them. We're not coming against the rappers whose songs tell us we ought to go out and kill each other, who say we as women mean nothing. We're nothing but a piece of trash and a piece of tail. Those lives matter too. How about our drug cultures? They can count on us. The cartels can count on us. But those lives matter too. So we have to decide who should be held responsible for black lives and whose duty it is to preserve it. And I think it's a little bit more than the police officers. Now, I don't think anybody's life should have been lost. I think these events are tragic, but those events are two things that I do discern. Number one, aside from being the most tragic example of injustice, they were contrived. And we need to stop being moved by every power player and power broker's agenda. Stop being the army of destruction. Let's start making a difference that starts with us. I was in the 67 one. I lived on off Avon Avenue in Newark in 1967. And, of course, given how old I am now, I was young. And I watched the tanks move up and down the streets, and I watched them spin around shooting houses. And the day before the riots, I came home from school. My mom came home from work, and the day before the riots, because there was a signal, and my mother accidentally literally sat down and talked to the guy who was going to be the signal to start the riot in Newark. And so he was with her on the bus, and he said, "Ma'am, when you go home, go home, lock your doors, and stay in your house because the riots are going to start. Now, they had a line going from California to wherever they ended up, and so they all had a signal. And so they started. Some of them didn't know. She came home, I was scared to death. So we go in. Now, prior to that, we had supermarkets. We had stores. We had the drugstore. The drugstore guy was wonderful because every time you got sick and you didn't have money, he would still give you drugs. He was a Jewish guy. We had cleaners. We had all kinds of businesses. And so one night, I came out of my house the next morning. Well, we couldn't even come out of our house. It was really a couple of days later, but we had to go to the store. And in one night, we lost our security, our safety, and our supplies in one night. And in one night, I watched that wonderful Jewish man who had helped my mom and dad and some of the other people with medicine being bashed in the head with a brick. In one night, I watched that. And you know what I thought? Well, if this riot was about black people, why is it that we can't up our neighborhood? So now we can't get food, and we can't go to the store, and we can't. Our cleaners are gone. Our clothes are in the cleaners, gone. Our furniture stores, gone. All of the businesses, gone. And all of these houses tore up, and these businesses tore up, and rats are running up and down the street bigger than cats, chasing kids. See, I live that. I'm not talking what I don't know. I lived that, and some of you all lived it too. And I remember thinking, that little neighborhood, we couldn't leave for weeks as they patrolled it to contain us in a week. And then when it was over, 10, 15 years later, we still had, we have stores. We got black stores, couldn't afford to get anything, couldn't afford to pay it, and we don't want to talk about the quality because they were new to the business sector. And we did not have a repair guide. We didn't have orientation. You cannot release and oppress people in power without some way of empowering them to keep what they are getting. We have got to be thought leaders. We've got to be quality thinkers. I was there, and I lived it. And I watched my city turn into trash. And I looked around, and I said, but we can't go over here because the cops are going to get us over here to get something. So how do we eat? How do we have food? How do we make it? Well, I watched teachers leave the school system. I don't want to teach you all. I watched the president of my high school get beaten up in the lobby. See, this, I'm not a stranger to this. So those black lives matter, but also the credibility and the reputation that we have around the world, we need to change that. Because, see, people are not seeing our causes. They're not seeing our heart. They're seeing our work. They're seeing our outbreaks. They're seeing our raging and ranting. We have got to figure out how to get into the system and be spokespeople. We've got to raise up quality spokespeople. We've got to do it. We've got to do it. We came to a land, and you can say, well, you know, we were hijacked and brought here. No, we weren't. We were sold. And we weren't sold by white folk. We were sold. We were transported by white folk. We were sold by black folks, black kings. The white folks were our transit system. Now, when they got us here, they did some horrible things. God knows it was horrible. But it was here. But we got here because of that. We were arrested and loaded up and put on boats. Let's get the record straight. And those same countries still fighting. Still fighting. So let's set the record straight. If we're going to become energized, if we're going to become invigorated to fight, let's first of all strategize what the fight is and decide who wins. Should we win or should our manipulators win? Should we go to power or should we put our manipulators in power? Who's making a pawn out of us as a people, and why are we too easy, too ready to be made pawns of? At the end of the 67 riots, hallelujah, we get into 68. And the next thing you know, billions of dollars are being slung at us around the country to get jobs or whatever. I know because I was the first white, the first black person in a lot of companies back then. And so we were getting jobs, training, schools, and whatnot. But again, we didn't know what to do with it, so we didn't know how to handle the money. It was more than we'd ever seen, all of that stuff, or more than we'd ever known. I worked for several agencies that came out of that and watched my boss and skim money off the top and do all of the things that humans do when they're unready for power or they're in it for personal gain. Before we take power this time, we need to get ready to keep it and to participate with it. And you know what else we need to do? We also need to get ready to assimilate ourselves in our country. We need to be ready to make our country great because it's great. No matter how we got here, we say, we are not where we were. And we need to stop saying nothing happened. You know, we're the all or nothing group anyway. No, a lot of good things happen. We have a lot of African Americans who are doing great things. I'm going to movies watching African Americans that I ain't talking about. Oh, come on now. I'm going to schools with African Americans. I'm going to stores. There was a time before we didn't have that. A lot of great things happen, and we can't assume that the people who are not part of what the great things are happening have done their best to get there. Don't make assumptions. Some people don't want to pay the cost, and I don't care what race you are, what color you are, success has a cost, and you've got to pay dues to get it. I don't care who you are. Success costs. So don't assume that just because so-and-so's crying that they're also diligent. Don't assume just because that's what person is out of work that they don't want to work. Don't assume that you know the heart of the person voicing the problem. That takes discernment. And so I want to say to you, you know, I have an answer to why black people are where they are. And I'll tell you the truth, it's not going to be an answer to false love. So I'll pray on when I'm going to give it to you. I will give you that answer because I got the answer. But I'll pray on the timing to give it to you, because when I give it to you, you're gonna have it's going to put a burden on you that requires you to do something with that information, and that's one of the reasons why smart people know you don't give information that you're not ready for people to act on, and then you need to anticipate their actions to determine whether or not they're ready for the result. And I want you to hear me. It's important for you to hear me. Black lives matter, yes. Black lives blended with queers, trans, and all of the other stuff, that's not your agenda. That's somebody else's agenda. Stop fighting other people's battle. Let's figure out what our agenda is. Let's figure out what our battle is. And let me tell you something, alienation and oppression and all of that's not going to work for us. We cannot want to get in power to destroy what's been built. Because we'll have a whole country full of looking like it did the day after the 67 riots. Destruction is not our answer. Construction is. So we need to find out what's constructive for us. Now, I say this, and I've spoken to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not dealing with myself as some sort of activist. I've never been an activist. Never cared to be. I never did. I'm not trying to push an agenda, but I am a woman that's trying to say, if we're going to take and pull our muscle together, let's know why we're doing it. But most importantly, my heart goes out to my people because we're always too quick to be used as pawns. And it's that pawn part that bothers me. How we get there is another thing, but we have got to stop putting everybody else in power and putting everybody else in positions while we ourselves tear up our own lives and our own environments and neighborhoods to do it. What if we just did things a little different? Prophet Ashley.
Wow. Well, I agree with these posts that are saying Paula Price for president. The needing a leader who can lead us out of our stuck place into a place of change. Nobody is denying the past, slavery and drugs and all these things. But we're here now.
Now, going forward.
How do we move forward now? Always reaching to the past, blaming the past, blaming this. When you do history in every country and nation, there is some devastating blow that people encounter, whether it's a terrible earthquake or a war, a genocide, whatever. At some point, you have to say, but how do we move forward productively to heal ourselves and to just come on here, let's do it. And not you can't ever forget.
No.
But we can't live there either. And so I agree with so many folks that were popping up on your screen about just the excellence of your delivery, the thought-provoking center of it. And this being, several people said this is the best commentary they've heard on the situation because it is a commentary. I mean, you've done research, you've done homework, you have studied, and let me see here. When you said, you know, lead through thought, mm-hmm. not the riot. We have two basic knee-jerk reactions, to riot and to boycott.
Mm-hmm.
We still haven't gotten past that.
Both are destructive.
Yes, in general, when you were making the point of how we still have, we have to get to Capitol Hill, we have to get to the Supreme Court
mm-hmm.
and have our voices be heard. If that's what we're going after, because just tearing everything up is reinforcing the fear
mm-hmm.
that people have. It's hard to convince people that you're more than a violent race of people when you're tearing everything up.
All the time, and that's your first response.
And the lack of thought, and this being contrived, and many people that agree with that and seeing, even saying that along the way, that
mm-hmm.
this is contrived. This is totally to fuel, first of all, this whole government, and so we don't have other shifts happening that need to happen, but that you are raising a thought leader, not chaos breeder. And so I encourage everyone to go back. A lot of people are, you know, tuning in along the way and not catching it from the beginning, but tell people what you want them to do to spread this particular broadcast, because this needs to go, I mean, and some people said, this needs to go on CNN, this needs to be on BBC, this needs to be everywhere people are, BBC, whatever. What can we do, since we're talking about taking action,
mm-hmm.
we've affirmed you here on this broadcast, yes, Dr. Price, many people, everybody's like, we cover you in prayer.
Whatever.
Hallelujah, we recognize the vote fire with our own people in it.
Because there are more of us who are in positions of strategy. and conversation and policy. We need to get ourselves into public policy that is for our advantage, not about our behaviors, not about how we have sex, but how we live life, how we thrive and get our piece of this thing. Hear me, we are not the same people, and we need to stop going backwards to go forward. I guess we need to talk to Prophet Adia, because I know she's, is she on the line?
She should be.
Prophet Adia, are you on the line?
I'm here, Dr. Price, I'm here. I'm here. if I was on social media, there'd be some dot, dot, dot. There'd probably be asterisks, crickets, I don't know, like a lot. I'm a social media generation, so I'd probably be using all my hashtag crickets, hashtag I don't know what to say, hashtag help me, Lord, I don't know. Any hashtag I could think of. I think something, man, so many things you said were powerful today. Of course, you know, we're an internet generation, so I'm all over the website as you were teaching and just like realizing what's at the root of all things. I think that you said some powerful things on both sides of the spectrum today, you know, understanding that there are real concerns in the Black community, but I think the wisdom, so much of what you're saying, is understanding how we actually fix them and what those motivations are. I agree with everyone. I think it's something that has to go around because we need to discuss this from this point of view. I loved a lot of quotes you said today. You talked about in God's world, it's all about the invisible creatures contending for his, I think you were talking about his physical resources, maybe. That part of it cut off for me. But then you said, in the spirit world, color is incidental to their motives. I thought that was powerful. Can we be powers? You said powers don't care about colors. Powers don't care about color. Powers care about conquest. You've talked about this before in terms of understanding that, you know, color, ethnicity, and all that, you know, that is tied to this realm. That's not something that we're carrying over with us. I've talked about that. You know, of course, I've had these discussions. We're all talking about this issue right now. You know, I really don't think we can deny that. This is on everybody's mind, white, Black, Hispanic, everybody. We're dealing with this. And I think that you've talked about things that are so powerful today in terms of, you know, everything being tied to a spirit, everything being tied to a force. It's just mind-blowing to really kind of understand the root of those things. Ultimately, I think, you know, even as Black people, you know, taking away from this, that quote that you talked about being thought leaders, being quality thinkers, and something else, and I'll just end my commentary on this, you know, being responsible for our lives, you know, us taking responsibility. You ask that question, who is responsible for Black lives? Who is responsible for preserving them? I think that's a charge we really have to take to heart. You know, it's our responsibility. I know that there are, you know, Black leaders who are doing it right and they're out there, but this kind of message and what you've talked about today has to be better proliferated, has to be better spread so that we can really understand how to take the lead. So I wanted to thank you for talking on this today because, again, this is on everyone's mind. We have to discuss these issues, and I feel like you brought so many things forward that brought a different perspective that we needed to hear.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad to do it. And, again, like I said, I just feel that we have got to stop being pawns of power brokers that we cannot see and we do not know. And that's what we keep doing. We keep falling into that pattern. We are different, and as I go to the commercials, because we have some, but we have to recognize we are not the same people. We're not the same Black people, so let's find some new tactics and some new strategies. Our reasons are very different. As a matter of fact, our country is not the same country, and so a lot of people have old ideas, but our country, by and large, is not the same country. Now, I wanted to tell you that tomorrow I will be a guest on with Bishop Robin May. I will be a guest on her radio show to discuss today's climate, economics, and martial law. Stay tuned to my website, drpaulaaprice.com, for call-in details. So she's putting together a roundtable of sorts and has invited me to speak on it. And I thought, well, if I'm going to speak on it, can I let my people know what we're doing? Hallelujah. So that is what we're doing. Prophet Ashley, I'm going to throw it over to you.
Okay. Well, everybody, thank you for tuning in to the Periscope portion of today's episode. It is now time to migrate over to www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. You can also get there the easy way. You can actually go to Dr. Price's website. If you don't remember that address, it is www.drpaulaaprice.com. You can connect to Blog Talk Radio online through her website. If you are traveling about and you want to listen by telephone, you can call 646-478-5250. That's 646-478-5250. I know some of our loyals will probably post that up on Periscope for you to see. Mm. And you can listen as you continue, either listening under the radar at work or if you're out and about. And God bless you, Dr. Price. Anything else? Oh, tune in tonight. Tune in tonight. Because Thursday is always a doubleheader with Dr. Price. Prophetic head that you're teaching us on the prophetic. Last week, we taught on personal prophecy, understanding personal prophecy, right? That was last week. Okay. And, and so tonight we'll continue with something deep and profound that we did not know or understand about the prophetic. Thanks, everyone, for posting that information up there on Periscope.
Are we done?
We're done.
Bye, Periscope. Let's get on the phone.
Prophet D is up.
All right, just going to give you guys a few announcements as we are getting ready to shift into your calls. Not going to take too long today. We want to get to your calls. If you do want to talk to Dr. Price in this second hour, you need to press that number one right now. So, again, if you want to talk to Dr. Price, if you want prayer today, if you want counsel today, press that number one so that you can talk to Dr. Price in this second hour. We want to thank you for tuning in to the Paula Price Show. You are listening courtesy of Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. And we encourage you to tune into us there and also follow the show. Follow the show. Take that moment to go online, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. You can click RSS feed so that you can tune into the program and be able to follow the show. That means that you'll get an email whenever the show is broadcasting live and you'll never miss a program. You can also tune into us on iTunes. So if you're an iTunes user, woohoo, go iTunes, you can actually subscribe to the Paula Price Show via your podcast app. It's super convenient. You'll be sure you'll be able to listen to the show via your smartphone device or your tablet. So we encourage you, let's subscribe to the Paula Price Show on iTunes. Become an iTunes subscriber, and we appreciate you in advance because we want to hear from you via iTunes. And if you are an iTunes user and you follow the show on iTunes, whether you're listening live right now or you're going to go back and catch the show a little bit later, would you take a moment to rate the show? It would help us expose it to a much broader audience, and we really appreciate you doing so. So take a moment to review the program, and we thank you in advance. There's a couple ways you can get in touch with us. I'm going to let you know those ways right now. Dr. Price is on Twitter, so you can tweet her on Twitter, and she's there at twitter.com/Dr. Paula Price. Her handle on Twitter is at Dr. Paula Price. So if you were touched by this show today, if you were impacted, if you're a first-time listener, greetings to you, and we want to hear from you. So if you were impacted today, you can hashtag the Paula Price Show. You can follow her on Twitter two ways. We are on Twitter as the Paula Price Show. We're going to be tweeting some really impactful comments from the show today. We're on Twitter. You can look us up on Twitter at the Paula Price Show. You can also follow Dr. Price there at Dr. Paula Price, and you can hashtag the Paula Price Show and let us know what you thought. If you have questions, if you have things that you would love Dr. Price to address on the Paula Price Show, then take a moment to follow the Paula Price Show on Twitter and let us know what you want her to talk about on this program. We do want to hear from our audience. If you're listening for the very first time, welcome. You picked a good day to tune into this broadcast. We want you to save this date on your weekly schedule. Make this your Thursday radio program, Thursday mornings with Dr. Paula Price. We're here every Thursday from 11 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time to 1 p.m. in the afternoon Central Time. So you can join us every week right here. We're going to be here to take your calls. Now, in the second hour, we're moving into taking your prayer requests. So, again, if you want to talk with Dr. Price or you have prayer needs, press that number one. If you are catching this for the very first time, I do recommend you call in early. We start the show right at 11. Call in about, I think you can call in 10 minutes early if you would like to speak to Dr. Price. There's so many people on the line who want to speak with her that we don't always have the opportunity to get to every call. So press that number one early. Get on the show early if you do want Dr. Dr. Price to pray for you. Don't forget, I'm going to leave you all with this. Don't forget that Dr. Price is doing a prayer campaign from now until the end of August. If you would like to literally sit with her on the phone privately and really discuss your prayer need and discuss your prayer breakthrough and have her begin to walk you through your breakthrough, she has agreed to do this journey with you July through August. What you need to do is go to her website, drpaulaaprice.com. I'll give it to you again, drpaulaaprice.com, and click that Book Dr. Price tab. You'll see that on the left-hand side. Yes, there is a seed offering that will be assigned to this, but it is worth that investment. So don't miss the boat on this. If you have a personal need that you need counsel on, you need that breakthrough, then make sure that you connect with Dr. Price privately and have some time alone with her to really talk through your issue and allow her to pray you through and to counsel you through. So do that. Press Book Dr. Price on her website. She's doing that special campaign from now and through the end of August. Listen, guys, I'll be back next week to give you all the announcements of where Dr. Price will be and all of your shout-outs. So let's tear up the web on this. We want to hear from you. I'll be back next week to share some of your comments. I'm going to turn it back over to Prophet Ashley so we can get to your call. So, again, press that number one. God bless you all, and let's get on with the show.
Woo! Thank you, Prophet Adia. And I tell you what, when we come back, we have Apostle Dwan Holmes Rawlinson on the line, and she and Dr. Price, I'm sure, are going to kick it up to the next level. The Prophet Adia, I don't even know what to do with myself right now. So what we're going to do is take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
I wanted to take a few minutes to tell you why you want to get this course. Yes, you want to know who you are. Yes, you want to know what God sent you to do. But it is not enough to know thyself. You need to know those that the Lord has assigned to work with you, to labor with you, to understand you, to hold up your hands, and to understand that they are not just volunteers helping out, but they are fixtures. They are affixed to your commission. They are your fixtures. They're your pillars, your founders, your ground. They're your communicators, your extenders, whatever you want to call them, and it's all of that. You need someone to fit all of those capacities. And so I want you to consider using my brand new teaching, building your commission team, stage one, if you're an apostle or an apostolic minister, because it's all the same. But what distinguishes what this teaching does is not that we're telling people about their ministry. No, we're taking people who are already in ministry or who are predisposed to ministry and who are competent or show potential for competency. And we're telling them, you're assigned to not just help me preach the word or help me spread the word. You're assigned to help me establish something in the earth, build it from the ground up, or fortify it if it's already in existence, and expand it. You want a commission team is about perpetuity, not just performance. And that is what commission training is. So may I encourage you to go to my website and to click, I want this commission team. You can go to ppmglobalresources.com and say, I didn't understand it. Now I know. And it's going to give you a blueprint. And then it's going to give you criteria, and it's going to give you standards, and it's going to give you protocols, but it's also going to give you some policies and procedures as well as practices. And all together, we come alongside you as you begin to identify those that God's called to help you do more than go on a mission. We want to help you identify those who are called to become fixtures of your apostleship commission, of your apostolic commission. Again, that's drpaulaprice.com or ppmglobalresources.com.
New Era Apostleship Restitution, or NEAR, is a kingdom collaborative founded by Dr. Paula Price that unites God's New Era ministries, visions and ventures, businesses and professionals in powerful, productive, and profitable ways that are mutually beneficial to all involved. Based on your level of membership, joining NEAR will give you access to assessment-based coaching and mentorship, personal ministry training and education, ministry credentialing and accreditation, spiritual covering and intervention, vision and ministry development, business and professional development, and more. Visit www.joinnear.com for membership and benefits information. That's www.joinnear.com.
Guess what, Paula Price Show family? We have great news. The Paula Price Show has an opportunity to launch out into television. That's right, Dr. Paula Price is going to do what she does best, which is take on the issues. As a result, the title of her television show is Taking It On with Paula Price. Now, you and I both know this is the perfect title. She takes on social issues, political issues, and of course, kingdom issues for the Lord Jesus Christ. But guess what? It's not free. And we need you, our mighty men and women of valor, our faithful followers and leaders, to get behind our apostle and launch her out into television the way she deserves. We want you to join our Count Me In campaign. That's right. We want you to go to drpaulaprice.com. Scroll down to the portion that talks about Dr. Price going to TV and find out how we can count you in to joining our campaign. Go to the site and you'll see how you can do a one-time text or regular text giving every day, every week, every month, or how you can sign up for an auto subscription for us to count you in and taking Dr. Price around the world. Again, it is Taking It On with Paula Price, and we want to know that we can count you in and count you faithful as she has been faithful to you. So join us in this endeavor. Time is short. We have a window to launch her out into the world. Many of you have been praying, and you've been telling us this needs to be on television. Well, your prayers are answered, but guess what? You can be an answer to prayer for Dr. Price as well. So once again, go to www.drpaulaprice.com. Go to that homepage and scroll down to find out how you can join the Count Me In campaign for Taking It On with Paula Price.
Well, it's for sure you took it on today, Dr. Price. We are back with the second portion of today's show.
Well, Prophet Ashley, what can I say? I don't know anything more than Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
That's right, Dr. Price. That's right. And we're glad that's what you know, because you know what? So many saints don't.
Well, you know, I tell you the truth. Like I said to you before, my heart is to do something entirely different. I just want to give God's people His mind on matters. That's where I am, you know, and I don't care about what the race or the background. I just want God's people to have a mind on this matters, and I want to do what it takes to keep our country from imploding from the inside out. But you tell me we have one of my sweethearts on the line. Is that true?
Yes, Pastor Juan Finn from Jacksonville, Florida, is on with us.
Well,
I am. Whoa. Let me tell you something. Here, I always tell people this when something's really happened. I say, Father God. It's a Father God moment. And I also want to let you know that you have interrupted my day and my afternoon. So my children may need some explanation because I'm supposed to be taking them to the beach. Anyway, that's just for you. Anyway, you understand what I'm saying. But wow. Good. I'm glad you do. But I could not resist dialing the number. After getting out of prayer, as you know, we've been praying at noon, but after getting out of prayer, I looked and I saw my social media exploding. And so I said, let me get on this line and listen and see what's going on. And so I'm glad I caught, probably the last half of it or even the last quarter of it, and I'm glad I caught that because I'm where everybody else is as well. Yes, your words, your thoughts need to be in a more global atmosphere, but the other part of that is we have to recognize our part in getting that to take place, and many times it's bigger than just forwarding something as well because sometimes those quotes have to be highlighted and have to be purposely distributed and delivered where we know they need to go. And so I agree with that. But I was just calling to say, hey, God bless you, love you, praying for you, and all the above.
Well, I appreciate it, but do me a favor. Just take a minute because your background has to do with media. You are a media apostle, really. Give them some pointers on how we can get this out and where it could land. If you could do that before you hang up, I'll let you go to the beach.
I will. I will and I can. Here's the deal. Here's what each of us has to understand. First and foremost, most of the things that you see on media, even as far as local news and what have you, is on there because of the pulse of what's happening in the community. Hear me well. So it's about the pulse of what's happening in the community, and right now it's also about the pulse of what's happening nationally. So if we hear lots of talk about Black Lives Matter, we hear lots of talk about anything, we know when we begin to highlight those terms and share those terms and those messages, then they will be noticed quicker. But the other point that we have to understand is when it comes to media and getting the news out there, it is about relationship. It is about relationship. As a reporter, anchor, we always had to find news locally. And so it was our responsibility to find it, but I couldn't find it if I didn't have the right relationship. Okay? And how do we have the right relationship? We have relationships with people who are listening right now, who are wondering why their event, their cause is never out there. I would propose it's because you haven't built relationships with the media and because you condemn the media so much. So what does that – no, seriously, that's what it is. Because many of those in ministry, they condemn so much that they don't have enough thought to understand that they may need the media to get some things out. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
So as thought leaders, we have to understand that in order to get our message out, we can't condemn the messenger. And right now, many of our messengers are those who work in mainstream media and in local media, but we have to just say the right things to get to them. So the number one thing that I say is build a relationship with someone in media who's there in your community, city. The easiest person to build a relationship is normally the person who just arrived. So the anchor who they just announced or the news reporter who they just announced is coming in now, build a relationship with them because they are going to need alliances and they are going to need relationships.
Smart.
All right?
Smart.
Now,
I love it.
And then secondly, this is the biggest mistake that I see those of us in ministry make, I'll just say point blank, is we don't tell people what's going on and we never comment on current events. We comment on current events from behind the pulpit, but then when it's time for the media to come to you and they say, hey, would you mind saying that on the camera? We say, no comment. Ridiculous. it is. So here's the deal. So now here's what we're going to have to do. And I'm like, Dr. Price, she always creates extra work for those of us around her without her knowing it, but I suppose I do the same. So now I'm saying, Adia, hear me in the spirit and in the natural. I know you're listening. We really do have to pull all the quotes from this, get them verbatim, and really start releasing them. But then, we're gonna package them together in a good release as well, so that we can release them. But it's your responsibility as apostolic Christians and supporters of Dr. Paula Price and those who say BET needs to hear, CNN needs to hear, NBC, ABC, the local newspapers. It's your responsibility if we're really in this together. It's your responsibility to say, hey, I have somebody you need to hear because they don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So that's my nutshell. Now, if you have any specific questions, I can answer that. But again, 9 times out of 10, the reason why your event or the reason why they're not up in your church on a Sunday like this is because they don't know that your church exists or because they don't know that you have anything valid to say. Because you haven't told them.
I love it. And you know what? Again, that's practical. And those are things that we need to know as Christians and as people who are interested in what's happening in our world and in our country and from the vantage point of our God. So, yes, I am going to – we're probably going to do another broadcast, Apostle DeWine and I, and we're going to kind of dig into this a little bit more because I know she has some things that she'd like to talk about. But I want to thank you for stopping by today. I'm very jealous. I'm sitting here fighting a tornado warning, and you're going to the beach. I am so I'm trying not to be in the flesh right now because I'm trying not to get caught up, but I'm having a little bit of a
But you know what? I will look. I may go live from the beach today, so then y'all can see how nice and sunny it is here. But it is what it is. But
I am not joining this. But enjoy and listen. Give my best to your daughters, and we will talk soon. Thanks again, and God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Talk to you later.
Well, Prophet Ashley, I think we can take, what, a couple of calls, maybe three, maybe?
Mm-hmm. I'm still trying not to be jealous as well that Apostle Dwan is headed to the beach.
And I'm bombing up tornadoes. Come on, Jesus.
Yes, you are, because you're tearing up the heavens, Dr. Price.
You say that, both. But you know what? They can't tear up my city. That's not happening. Not in Jesus' name. That's not the call of the Lord on my life right now. Well, and while we're still on Blog Talk Radio, let's get ready and see if you have, I especially want to see if you have comments today. Let's do a little, something a little different. I want to hear those who have some quality contribution to what I discussed in the first half of the show.
All right. Well, that sounds good. Go ahead and press that one if you have intelligent commentary to add. But first, we're going to kick off with Stacy from Light here in T-Town. She's calling for some prayer. I know she has a comment and a feedback from what you just said, and then you can pray for her, I'm sure. Stacy, welcome to the Paul Price Show.
Thank you, Prophet Ashley. Hi, Dr. Price. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I am doing
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
The exhortation this morning, I just did not know what to go. I didn't know whether to run, whether to lay down, whether to jump up and scream. I mean, I thought to myself, God, thank you for freedom. Because we see all these things and all these this hype going, and we don't realize and stop and think instead of getting emotionally involved and post all these anger or angry posts. We never sit and think, but this is truly not about just black people. So I don't know what to say, Dr. Price.
Well, let me ask you, what statement struck you the most out of all that you did here and can recall?
Oh, my goodness. When you made the statement about Black Lives Matter, well, even this, the topic itself, Black Lives Matters but to home. And when you said you went to a country, a predominantly black country, and it was still blacks killing blacks, and you said, but blacks were killing blacks. So when we asked basically what Black Lives Matter, it was basically blacks attacking blacks. And the statistics that you gave, I mean, who would have thought? We never stop and think. We always think the white man is attacking me, or, you know, we're just a trodden down race, but we never stop and think, but we're killing ourselves. And we never put those statistics up. We never think about those things.
Mm-mm, no. We don't come out the house when we kill each other.
Yes. We're so quick to assign blame and not say, okay, but this is something that we're doing, and we never point ourselves out.
Exactly. Well, thank you. I wanted to hear, you know, what impacted you most and why. So I thank you for sharing that. So what do you need prayer for today?
Keep running this race and keep on fighting. I go back in tomorrow, and I just needed to just think, just strength for not only me, but for my family as well as we continue to go through this journey.
Amen. Father God, thank you so very much for Stacy. Lord, she's been a loyal and faithful daughter in the Lord and a faithful supporter and just really a great mom, keeping her children in you. And so I'm asking that you continue to hold them in your arms as you bring them to the last stretch of this journey. We thank you for the last stretch, God, and that you get glory out of it all as they continue to worship you, as they continue to praise you, as they continue to trust you as you walk them through the end of this day. I'm asking that you would cover her mom, that you would bless her mom with peace and confidence and assurance. I'm asking that you would cover Stacy, that you would rebuild her strength, rebuild her courage, rebuild her focus, God, and also her a confidence in you and her assurance that he who has begun a good work in her will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I'm asking you, God, to be a breakthrough God in her life and to let her know her dad is with her all the way through the end. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, Dr. Price. We had dropped her call right there toward the end, but I know she is going to come back around and plug in and get that word because, you know, Stacey's not going to miss it.
I know she isn't. All right, what's next?
Okay, we have Sonia from Alabama, and she, too, is calling in for prayer today. Sonia, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi, Sonia. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm excited. I'm, you know I'm fine. Listen to me. I'm all on the ceiling. I can't even help it. I'm all on the ceiling, you know? But anyway, so what can I pray for?
Just prayer in general, but I think the main thing is concerning church. Me and where I serve at church. I just need prayer.
So didn't we cover this? Didn't we, you and I talk?
Yeah, we've talked before, yes. Uh-huh.
And but didn't we talk about your church?
No, not my church.
Okay.
The last time we talked, it was about my destiny and the purpose and, you know, things that God wanted me to do.
And what did you do about that conversation?
I'm in a place of, I feel confused right now.
Okay. And when you said, because we, if I'm not mistaken, we kind of laid out some pretty specific things. Let me ask you, did you go back and listen to that call when you were done?
Yes, I have, and actually, when I woke up this morning, I was led to go back and listen to it again, and so I did. But I guess for me, it's just knowing, I guess, the specifics of what God wants me to do, and even as far as, you know, in my church, how, you know, to serve my church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And if I'm to be there, because sometimes I feel like I sometimes feel so disconnected from where I attend church.
But what do you do to stay connected? Let me tell you this. One of the things we have to think about as saints, and that is that we have a part to play. And sometimes when you're shy and when you're unsure of yourself or you feel very insecure, you tend to pull back. But people misread that from what's going on inside you. You know inwardly what's restraining you, what you're pulling back, what's pulling you back. But outwardly, all they see is that you're standoffish, that you are not engaged, you're not enthusiastic. So you have to change a few things too. You know, we cannot want God to do all the work. So there are some personality changes that are going to have to happen. Now, how do I know that? I know that because by how you came on the phone today. And so first thing you want to do, I think you're going to have to get some sort of a health regimen so that you can work with your emotions, because your emotions are not all you. Some of that has to do with your diet. Others have to do with you having some nutritional changes that have to make that are just causing mood swings. So that would be one of the things I'd love to see you do, you know, because you haven't met the real you yet. And then secondly, really making a decision on how you are going to address enhance your demeanor so that you are appealing to people, that you're becoming more emotionally attractive and appealing to people. Because people want to work with upbeat folks. People want to work with happy people. People want to work with folks who say, you know what, I'm confused. Can you help me out? Or can we have coffee and talk about what you think or something like that, not just to wait on the Lord. And I hope this is good counsel to you, because that's really what God is telling me.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you, Sonia?
Yes, it does. And I am working on my diet. You know, as of now, I am.
Good, because that's what's affecting your mood, and it's also making you very edgy and nervous, and sometimes it just makes you too self-conscious because you don't have that kind of that hormone balance that kind of keeps your outlook positive.
Okay.
So I definitely feel that the diet thing is it. But then with the diet, you will have to do your part in assuring that what you say, or I mean what you want people to do, you're in a position to reciprocate and also to contribute to in the sense of initiate. So let's just say I don't know what I want to do. Then you got pastors set up a meeting with your pastors or whoever is in charge of the various ministries and just let them know, I'm ready to do this. These are the things that I can bring to the table. This is what I can do. This is what I want to do. And what's going to happen is then they can help you and guide you too. You might need some training. You might need a Bible study, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, so that's my suggestion to you.
Okay.
All right, so let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you're doing. And, Lord, take this counsel for Sonia and show her how to apply it to the specific areas of her personality and the specific situations in her life. Lord, cause it to be, you know, spread out and distributed throughout all of her existence so that she can begin to walk in purpose and destiny and feel good about it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome, beloved. God bless. Prophet?
Hey, Dr. Price. Okay.
Hallelujah.
You know, I think.
Say it again.
Go ahead.
I said we have a few more minutes to get a couple of calls before we have to go and do something with this here storm.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm having just a little bit of difficulty connecting with our callers right now. I think because the internet going up and down a little bit.
Okay, so we might just have to kind of wrap up our show a little early today. What do you think, Fossil?
I think we can do that. I mean, you certainly laid us out and gave us a lot to think about.
Yes, and so I'm surprised we're still on the line now with our lights blinking, flickering off and on. Block Talk people, pray for us here in Tulsa. Pray for us in the storm. I got to go and do battle with the storm here so we can shut this thing down. But pray for us and continue to pass this along. Do me a favor. Pass it along. And so, Prophet Ashley, is there any closing comments you'd like to make about today?
Well, obviously, I know that today is a game-changer day, Dr. Price. I would say game-changer for us as Christians, as African-Americans, non-African-Americans. This you haven't just given us something to think about. You've given us something to act on and take a responsibility. And I would say empowerment, because sometimes we think empowerment has to do with just brute force. But now we have more than that. So I would just say what we have said. Spread the word. Keep this thing going. Gain momentum, and let's take the high places for Jesus Christ.
Well, and I agree. So, listen, the thunders are lightning. I think some of you are hearing them in the background. I think it's wonderful. God must be just tearing up stuff as he's stepping on in and doing what he wants to do. Continue to pray for us. Go to Facebook and post your comments. I'd love to hear from you. And also, make sure you share Periscope. Put it on your YouTube. Put it everywhere you know to do. If you have an internet television program, put it on that. You have my permission to do that because that's what we want to see you do. Tonight, 8 o'clock, prophetic head. God bless, and spread the word.
All right, bye-bye, and we will connect with you all later. Thank you, Dr. Price, for your wisdom.
Amen. Bye-bye.